Well, hi. welcome to 2039. No, I've been off for ages, ladies and gentlemen. I've had for the regular listeners, you know, I'm going through a few health. Well, I'm managing my health at the moment. I've got inoperable neuroendocrine cancer, stable, but I've got active hormones, which I'll be getting some liver embolisms on a couple of the tumours in my liver to stop with flushing. My skin flushes quite badly because it's a neuroendocrine tumour. And I've recently had electrical cardioversion, which is like a, you know, well, it is, it's a defib. So, you know, whenever somebody's had a heart attack or collapsed on the floor and they go 1, 2, 3, and then they try to start them again with a machine. As part of my heart management, I went into hospital and had one of those done purposely. I had a triple heart bypass. Triple heart bypass? I had three of my heart valves replaced March 2020. And after that, my heart rate, you know, I'd be sitting, and you guys know, as runners, if you're sitting down and your heart rate's between 90 and 120 and you haven't done any physical activity, then there's something not working properly. So I was in heart chatter, which would have eventually worn me, my body out. So the cardioversion was a requirement. The hormone side of the cancer can cause palpitations as well. So with that, it's something that was required. So at the moment, I had that done about 2.5 weeks ago. There was a tiny, tiny little clot attached to one of my valves that floated around my body. And when I went for my first little walk back of about 10 minutes, I went blind in one of my eyes for about 3 minutes. Legs became very heavy. So I turned around and walked back to my farm, put my hand up against the wall where I thought there was a switch, a light switch, but obviously I was confused because of certain blockages and so on. So I was driven to A&E, where I spent 4 days there having various tests and so on. So yeah, there was just like a little clot, no stroke or anything, just a little clot. So I'm taking it easy. I'm taking it very easy for the next week before I start my recovery process again. So that's where we're at. But I thought whilst I'm by myself, to talk about something that happens in running whenever you are by yourself, where the decision is up to you. And it is DNFing. Did not finish. You're making the decision in the middle of a race. One reason or another, health, heading or not in the right place, go on to that. Or just fatigued or injured, where you've thought, right, that's it, I can't carry on with the race. Damon Hall had it in the UTMB just gone. Very honest. If you get an opportunity to follow him on Facebook or read any of his books, articles, please do. He looked on both sides of what it felt like, and the latter being, it's just a race. Now, I've only had one DNF in my life, but I'll go on to that. When I did the Marathon de Sables in 2017, we got to a stage on day 3 where you became possessed by the race It was like, fucking hell, if I don't complete this, I'm going to have to sacrifice everything again. You know, you're in, you're possessed by the race. It's not your focus. It's got such a withhold done on you. You've gone through so much. And I was thinking, you know, if I get injured or if I have to pull out, I'm going to have to come back next year and I've sacrificed so much. You know, I might lose my marriage and everything. You know, you're not thinking straight because your focus is, you know, you're not in a, well, you're not in a pleasant state of mind. You're not in a fear. You're not in worry, but you're so determined that it means everything. And luckily enough, finished it mid-pack, didn't win, but wasn't last. But on at the moment, I'm recording this 3rd of September 2021, is the Ring of Fire in Anglesey. If you ever get the chance to do that, make sure you do. There's a firelighted option, which is one day, I think it's 35 miles. Or there's the 3-day option, which goes all the way around Anglesey along the coast. James Bingham and team, it's their bread and butter. It's a fantastic course. Fantastic support. But I had just finished the Marathon des Sables 2017. Hadn't trained all that much. It was a bit cavalier, but was still putting in the mileage. But the start of more serious signs of my health were coming out. You know, I just didn't have any oomph about me. Finished day one with a couple of minutes to spare. I had a heck of a laugh, met up with some good friends during the race and enjoyed the race for what it was. Do you know what I mean? I was a seasoned runner by then. You know, MDS was out of the way. That bent my mind and everything. But got to day two, woke up. I was already sweating a lot. My liver wasn't able to regulate myself properly, which I now know. And I got past, I think it was CP1, and I gave up outside a pub. And that was it. I was like, right, fair enough. I'll come back and support James on it. But I think I don't want to return to do that again. And I think with all races that I ever did, I always had that kind of adventure. I didn't put, apart from the Marathon des Sables, because it is a trip of a lifetime, unless you're loaded. but local races and all that kind of thing. DNFs are just DNF. You pull out, you pull out. And I wouldn't beat yourself up about it, simply because from the other side of it, as a, not even as a spectator now, because I think, because I can't take part in races and so on, unless they're close to my heart, I won't follow it. I won't follow a race because it's like, oh, I can't do that. But there's so much more in life than getting upset about a DNF. I did not finish. You just move on. Once again, there is the feeling of dramatisation creeping into the sport with, because there's a certain few of, you know, race reports are great, you know, when people write what happened and so on and so on. But dramatising a DNF, you know what I mean? It's, you're healthy, you've entered something, you've either had the shits or you've hurt your leg or, you know, your head's your mental health is a bit fatigued or you've got something like that. But it's not life or death. So it's just a race. And I think the more other sports people do or other hobbies do within their training, then a DNF is more easier. And also a DNF is more unlikely, because if you're doing other sports, then your body is more equipped rather than just you know, standard, just running. So yeah, that was my little bit about DNF. You know, there's also the mindset about everything. But honestly, you know, you look in a few Facebook groups and people are asking advices about races about a month out, you know, how to train, what's the right thing to eat. And you're thinking, well, you haven't really prepared at all for this. How do people plan their yearly races? You know, is there knowledge, and this is leading on where you need to get a good coach, or you need to study yourself? Why do people, you know, you invest a lot of money in the kit, but how much is invested in your vision of what you're going to do, you know, your study of the courses, your proper passion? I think, is it Plato or somebody like that said, if you've got a passion in something, then you've got an interest in it. So you might have a passion in running, but because we've got no knowledge of the course or whatever, you might avoid the kind of research and the study that is required to take away any anxiety, or, you know, going out too fast, or not seeing that there's going to be quite a few hills, so to pull it back a bit or train harder in that element. And, you know, either get a coach who can, you know, help you direct with this race. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there, and there's a lot of people who've got into the habit of just having a coach for the sake of having a coach and seeing that as a purchase and not really, you know, trying. You know, I think the more effort you put in yourself, the more effort you'll get back away from the DNF. With the Marathon de Sables, you know, we went down to the expo, which was amazing. Soaked up every single word, syllable that Elizabeth Barnes was saying, and used that as a platform for my training, you know, because a lot of the time the purchasing the kit is something anybody can do, but if it's knuckling down and looking at the maps, looking at the courses, looking at the elevation, working about the time that you're going to be at certain places, what's running in the night going to feel. A lot of people complaining about, oh, you know, I had a bad, my stomach wasn't doing very well that day. And so, well, practiced eating that kind of food and training at that time of night, whenever you've been fatigued or starving yourself for a couple of days before it. And it is, I certainly believe, time investment before the race that you can do. You know, you can make yourself more uncomfortable than what you'd be in a race situation with the knowledge that, you know, you've got your house next to you or your car, where you can just chip off after that training session that was awkward. And, you know, people talk about, I went into the pain cave. Reword it, you know, reword it into, who wants to go to a pain cave? Reword it into something, you know, beautiful, you know, like, am I going to my, I don't know, my memory rainbows, and fill it with great thoughts of courage and determination that you've achieved previously. So that's where I'm at. DNF makes you stronger. However, there's a lot you can do to prevent it, which is work within your abilities, but don't just purchase the kit and purchase the race. Purchase your own commitment into what you're about to do. you know, study, 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 go over the course, do the recces, you know, Facebook groups, speak to the people in the Facebook groups who have done that race previously and ask them, you know, what did you find hard about day one or day two? What did you wish that you had done previously? And simple ways like that, rather than getting spoon-fed. Now, I know a lot of you listening to that, to this already do that, but sometimes it's good to, like, right, let's just like wipe off the cobwebs and just double-check that I'm still doing the basics right, doing this, doing that, doing the other. So that was my little 2 pennies worth about DNFing. And at the end of the day, it's just a race. It's there to be enjoyed, shared, rather than putting pressure on yourself as if you're going into surgery or something so dramatic. Because, boy, oh boy, there's a lot more serious things that could happen to you in the world, as I know now. And I'm glad that my approach with races was always the enjoyment and the adventure rather than the drama of it. You know, see things with childlike wonderment. But yeah, study as if you can just roll in and pass that exam. But there we are. That's it. That's my little 2 pennies worth. I'm not up at the moment to interviewing, simply because I'm resting. And the actual concept of this at the checkpoint may be changing completely. It may be going off running and becoming more of how to deal with situations that have been put in front of you rather than what you've created, and how to deal with them, as in how to be more solution focused, how to work harder on your weaknesses rather than standing away from them. Studied this a lot beforehand. I've experienced it as a runner, but 2 years in now to cancer and triple heart valve surgery, I believe that my strength, or being able to champion ways and tweaks and tips to get you through, which you think at the time could be the most difficult situation in life, a lot of the time may just be what you've created into your head. So hints and tips to get past that, which you can put then into place in running or in life, in relationships, in work, in goals and stuff like that. So I think that's where we're going with At the Checkpoint. So it's going to be moving on to that, not like kind of inspirational speaking and all that. This is going to be where there's empathy. You know, everything that I'll be talking about is things that you will have experienced and wondered how to deal with, or if you're a new listener, as well as, you know, my healthy listeners, this will be going out to people who haven't beat cancer or other diseases, people who are managing ill health and are looking at ways to listen, because sometimes that's all we can do. That's all we've got the energy to do, is just put a podcast on and listen whenever fatigue sits in. But also it will help with planning for things to assist, rather than, you know, if you're not ready, just listen and ways to put dollops of colour into your mind. So yeah, that's where we're going. So I've been a bit disruptive, naughty Hugh, disruptive in this podcast, but that's where we're at. I think it's the mental game is is there to be enjoyed, you know, enjoy inside your head, because I do. But yeah, and practice makes perfect. I know it's an old saying, but yeah, prep, prep, prep. I've gone on for 20 minutes, boring myself now. You're probably all asleep. You probably put this on to get yourself to sleep. And if you have, well, then this has worked if you suffer from insomnia. Right then, in a bit, bye.